What's up, everybody? I'm JJ John Jastrzemski.
And I'm Jason Goff. And if you haven't heard, The Ringer has gone local.
I'm bringing the fire. I'm bringing the rain from the Big Apple with my show, New York, New York.
And I'm repping Chi-Town with my new show, The Full Goal, on all things Chicago.
We've got episodes 3 nights a week with all the reaction to the local teams and guests.
Plus bonus episodes around all the big games and storylines.
So whether you're uptown, downtown, in the burbs, or a transplant,
make sure you follow New York, New York, and The Full Goal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, Monday edition. The two-man show is back. How do you feel about this? You went from top dog to arguably the best co-host here. How do you...
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were going to say.
I would argue you're the best co-host in the show.
That feels really, really good. I would say your bone, probably, that got fixed in your shoulder is
probably
your funny bone in your elbow. I've said shoulder more times than I've said elbow about your surgery. I don't know what a shoulder or elbow is, but I know you had one of them corrected. I feel so weird. Like, I feel like we haven't done the podcast in weeks, maybe a month.
So for me, it was last Thursday, a week ago Thursday?
Well, and when we did that show on Thursday, it was with Luber, and it was a totally, like, we've never done a show where it was all interview. So has been almost like 2 weeks since a normal episode. And what's a normal episode for us? It's not, I don't know if we have
it's that. Nonsense and bantering and yelling about crap, so it's perfect. So the elbow surgery, I'm holding up for
the
people.
Oh, if you guys could people need to see this.
I've posted some pictures on Instagram.
Oh, that's right.
They basically pulled two pieces of bone about the size of a molar out of my elbow and then shaved down the back of my arm, had some bone spurs. Pain is not terrible. I've got my post-op tomorrow, Tuesday, so I'm excited about that.
When you talk about pain not being bad, what about mobility? Like, is it better? Do you notice a difference?
Yeah, my arm is straighter now than when I got the surgery. It was prevented from being straightened, so those bone fragments were in the way. So yeah, it's getting better. I'm hoping tomorrow, honestly, tomorrow, I just hope he says, hey, there's going to be pain in certain movements, but there's no damage. So just fight through the pain or don't, but you can do whatever you want. That would be awesome.
Do you feel nervous at all about your recovery? Do you think they missed anything?
No, I mean, bone spurs, I didn't even know about. He's like, yeah, we saw him. And so I was in there, we just shaved him down.
I was like, no extra charge, I hope.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I got whacked with charges on that one. But thank you, Vanderbilt. Charlie Cox was his name. Apparently, Charles Cox. Apparently, I came out of anesthesia. I was like, where's Charlie? Anyways, everybody was
very fat.
Do you think
you're getting a discount for that shout out right there?
I should have charged for that show. I'm sure everybody's very fascinated about that story. So we'll continue with that after the rundown.
Is that what we're talking? I forgot. That's the last thing
I called. Do you remember how we do this?
Oh, my God.
You give people a preview of how we of what we're going to talk about. And that's when they decide, you know what? I gave the show a shot. I'm going to leave right now.
There's a lot of firsts going on. This is also my first show without the Dell
umbrella.
The Braille umbrella. No, I consider it more of the safety net. The safety net of Dell is gone. And that's why I'm wearing a tank top today. And I kind of hope there's a clip for today's show just for people to see the tank top. Because I've got a lot of muscles showing.
All right, we covered tank top. We covered elbows. I think we're good. Mailbag.
Fine. We'll talk about the show. All right. Today on Sports Cards Nonsense, we're going to talk market crash. It's all going to heck in a handbasket, people. Give up now. Then we're going to talk about release calendar. We got product coming out. We've got a fun game we're going to play. That actually is fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
That wasn't on the schedule.
NFT talk for 2 seconds. That's all. We're not doing recent pickups.
I haven't bought anything.
Yep. We discussed off air. That's not happening.
Okay.
Picks from phone. And your favorite, mailbag.
A lot of good stuff.
Big picture.
It's just one segment to the next. You just introducing the next, then a rundown, introduce the next, run it down.
Run it down again.
I would say mostly good reviews from you and Jason's show. I think people were okay with me. I think most people don't care if I ever come back, quite frankly. I think I would strongly
disagree with that.
I think you carried it well.
I will tell you, and I did not know this would happen, but I don't know how you did it, like any time where I haven't been here, because it's so weird talking to no one, like for the first few minutes. Like once Jason came on, it was a lot different. But like when I had to fill those first like 5 to 10 minutes or whatever it was, like I started getting like the whole deer in the headlights, like, oh man, I thought I was talking for 5 minutes. It's been 20 seconds. And
I thought you did pretty well, though. You have a couple of verbal crutches. Somebody pointed this out to me. I was like, you know what? That's true. But not in a terrible way. Like, you used to do the I'll say this or the like bottom line is. But other than that, I actually thought you did pretty well. And again, I think it's easy for people to sit at home. Oh, you're just talking. If you come into a studio, which we're just at our home studios now, we will be in the new studio. By the way, I got the contract on that today. Signed, sealed, delivered almost. We'll be moving in the first of the year, probably a couple of days before that. But
nice.
It is not just as easy as sit in front of a microphone and talk. Anybody can do that. But to have no downtime, to have energy in your voice, to actually speak in a way that somebody would turn it on and listen. That is always my biggest test to any podcast. If I can turn on a podcast and after 20 seconds, I'm like, okay, I'm not bored out of my mind. I'm okay with it. But it is not that simple. So anyways, I don't want to commend anymore.
This podcast people are
gone.
Going to tune in.
At this point, no one's heard. No one's here anymore. Okay. Real quick, we're going to start with cards. The market crash talk. Things are slow. Every 3 to 4 months, this pops up. And it's like people are mystified that they can't sell. And that cards they bought 2 months ago haven't 10x'd. This is back to how it should be, in my opinion. Player performance has a lot to do. As much to do now, I think, for the most part, with hype. As opposed to back in February of this year, hype was everything, and that was it. You know, no matter what a guy did, healthy, not healthy, doesn't matter. A story comes out, an influencer talks about him, he 10Xs. We're getting back to the point now where there is steady growth in certain areas, there are declines in a lot of areas, and the overall market is definitely slow now. So people in the last year, and this has been a lot in the Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter, I keep reading, I can't sell cards, tough to do this. Let me just say this to everybody who is listening. If you have been in the hobby less than a year and you've not lived through the hobby during the holiday season, not my holiday season, I'm not a holiday guy. However, the majority of people probably celebrate these things. Fine. This is how it is every year. Break rooms get quite a bit slower.
Really?
Sales on eBay. People are just
I thought
busy.
It would have increased. Like, if
no,
I'm
that's
coming
a, and
in.
That is a myth. There is a short window, I feel like, where 2 weeks before Christmas, whatever people celebrate, there's an uptick. They want to get, this is the time when actually gift certificates in the break room would really pick up because somebody's wife or like an older kid of theirs, hey, I know my dad breaks. I want a gift certificate or I want to buy a specific card. But in general, this is a selfish hobby, right? Like I don't think Hannah's ever bought me a card for a gift for any occasion. I wouldn't expect her to. Most wives are not going out and buying gifts. So this thought that everybody's buying gifts and cards are the thing to go, that has never been the case, really. Now, I know there's some people, I get that every year. Some do. I'm just telling you, from Thanksgiving to probably a week into the new year, it's just a little bit slower. Releases slow down to a degree and sales slow down because guys are just busy with other crap and they're spending money elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. I bet you that is a big chunk of it. Is like,
definitely.
Because how many people go into debt around like the holiday season because they have to buy everybody, like their mailman a gift, and then they don't have any money for cards and things like that? That's actually a really good point. I never thought about that. But you know what it does make me think of? It makes me think of two things, actually. One, that a lot of, if there's going to be spending in this hobby right now, it may not be on cards specifically, but maybe like the card paraphernalia, like display, like things that a wife could go out and buy and know, like, oh, my husband could use this or my friend could use this. And it's
a display of some sort.
Exactly.
Like it's the cabinet not, behind me, like somebody buying like a cabinet or a new shelf. But I could see that.
Hey, whoa, there's that mason jar, bro. You said you couldn't find the mason jar. It's on the shelf. I see it
now. Mason jar's here, homie.
Okay. But that's one thing. The other thing that I you know, call me.
Is this a star-eyed optimistic? Yep,
I'm a very positive
idea.
Man.
You led with a good idea, though.
This is not a bad idea. This is a reality, is what this is. The celebrity card market is at its infancy, but it will be taking off. I know this because
you just get that case of Leaf Pop Central.
I did get Leaf Pop Central case in. So this is a pump and dump. Okay. No, I'm still on the fence if I'm even going to open that. But
you're going to open it. I got you a deal on that case. You wouldn't open it.
But I've got people reaching out to me asking me about cards that they want to get for spouses. Like, I just got my mom for part of her anniversary gift was that the Designing Woman Delta Burke card.
Oh, that was
for
her?
Yeah, I got that one for her. And I got Scott, my stepdad, a Garth Brooks card.
Uncle Roy.
Russ, your bro just reached out to me this morning about a bit. Oh, wait, I hope his wife doesn't listen to the show, right?
If it's a surprise, don't say anything because his kid might listen.
Well, about a card for his wife, though.
Oh.
But it's a celebrity card. And so it's just like, I know that I keep seeing more of it online, but it's... I just started to think maybe it's just me, but I do think that is going to be an area where you see more and more growth. And that would be something I feel like during this holiday season,
I could see that
if
tick
people
up
are buying sure. things, that's okay. something you don't have to guess. Like, I don't know if this player is good or not, but I know for a fact that Orlando Bloom is my favorite Pirate of the Caribbean and I'm getting that for my spouse. So that's my theory.
That's a fair point. Another thing I think comes into play. So many guys now, the post starts with, oh, holidays are around the corner. I need to free up some cash. And they're trying to sell. The amount of things for sale right now, I also feel like is way higher than normal. My overall point is, this is how it is every year for the past 5 to 6 years that I've been really full-time in the game. This is how it is, end of November to the beginning of January. Wax prices fall, singles prices fall. I would just say, if you don't need to be selling right now, honestly, take a little bit of time off from selling. If you're on the other side, if you have free cash, now's not a bad time to buy. We're starting to get close to the, well, probably like third way through. We're not to the halfway point of the NBA season, but you're seeing serious declines there and guys just slumping, not doing a whole lot. Awesome. Then if you're optimistic, go in and buy. Same with football, where 11 to 12 games, depending on bye weeks, into the season, there's 5 weeks left. You can pretty much guarantee the majority of teams that are going to be in the playoffs right now. Again, pricing hasn't spiked and gone crazy yet for a lot of those guys because of the time period, more so than the market. I think now is more of a time to either chill out and not look and not be worried about trying to sell, or pinpoint some areas where you think you can buy where there is upside and make that move as well.
It sounds like, if anything, now is a time for deals to be had.
I think so. Every year.
It kind of makes sense. Because, like, when I was on over the last few days, like, you know, obviously the majority of people in America were probably celebrating Thanksgiving. And then, like, it was just like a down time because people were off social media. I was just thinking, man, I don't feel like there's as many people in the card market at this very moment, as far as like actually actively doing buying, selling, trading, whatever the case may be. And I feel like you have a similar mentality of, oh, I've got this party to go to. I've got these family to go see from this point to the end of the year. So it would make sense why that would continue from this point on until
January. That's it. Market is not January. Crashing. People need to breathe.
That's
to relax.
Good. This is my first end of the year in the card world. Yeah.
So just relax would be my thing. I do want to talk a little NFL, NBA, just a couple notes. NFL, Mac Jones stuff. You have some sales.
Can we
Mac
talk
Jones.
About Mac Jones stuff?
We watched the whole game yesterday together.
Yes.
Dude tore up your Titans.
I don't. And it was really offensive to see you rooting for the Patriots. That was just because you've told me specifically you are a Brady, not a Patriots fan. And yet you did all you could to shove it in my face as they were losing.
Well, so, Brady fan first, Patriots fan second, Titans third. I do root for the Titans if they're not playing one of the aforementioned. Mac Jones looks good.
Hurtful.
Say what you want about the team. It's the system. He's got the greatest coach of all time. All true. Nobody does it without any sort of a system, except for Brady some of those years when they had nothing. The kid looks great. Had another great game yesterday. I'm curious what his season stats are. If you want to pull that up when you have a minute, I should have prepped you on that. Card sale-wise, there's still some crazy numbers. The most out-of-whack card in the entire market right now to me. The 2021 Donruss base PSA 10 Mac Jones.
It cannot be right. Like, you are in for a crash if you don't get out now, right?
This is not a pump and dump. I don't own any. I've never owned any of that card, actually. I'm not saying Mac Jones stuff in general, you sell it now. I don't think you need to. I think they're clearly going to the playoffs.
What? But you're saying don't sell now?
If you've held to this point, that I said aside from that card. Sell it before you hear the show. Of his other stuff, autographs, numbered stuff, I think you're going to keep seeing improvements because I think they're going to the playoffs easily. Maybe they go on as a number one seed. I don't know. But that card in particular needs to be sold immediately. There's just crazy stuff. The pop counts do not matter at all. Stuff is going to start coming back from PSA. You got to remember, a lot of people weren't subbing these at the time. This card is insane.
To make this point, the PSA 10 version of the 2021 Donruss Mac Jones card.
Verified sales now on Card Ladder, by the way.
Verified
sales. These are not just buy it now as it got relisted.
Nope. These are going for over $3,000. Last one sold as of the time of recording this show's one sold last night for $3,050. And that would be the second that was at $3,000, but multiples at $2,800. And then, like, I don't know, even more than that, over $2,000.
What's the pop on that card?
So there's 34 PSA 10s, but it's just going back and forth.
The thought that this is some sort of a rarity. Patrick Mahomes cards, that exact card, PSA 10 Donruss, are under $1,000 right now, probably well under $1,000 right now. Why in the world would anybody buy? There's way more Donruss being produced now.
The SGC 10 of this card, do you know what it's going for?
I would hope it's in the 22 or higher range.
$383 sold yesterday.
Oh, really? See, that's stupid.
That's why you know. It makes no sense because even if you don't believe in SGC, you could crack the, like, why would anyone do that? It makes, my mind's being blown about it, but that's
the only trouble.
That's what's crazy.
I would be very curious to, like, the people buying these. And again, they're vetted sales, so I know they're not just, but are people doing this because they know they have a bunch of PSA 10s coming back and they're going to sell? I don't know. Is this like some sort of a weird big pump and dump on that particular card?
Yeah.
If you buy that card for more than $500, I think you're out of your head.
I mean, I think he's going to be good. I honestly, at this point, think he's going to be good. But that
card makes no sense. And the pop's 34. Talk to me in 6 months when the pop is 1,800. Like, what are we doing? Anyways.
Yeah.
However, on field, having said that,
I do have his stats.
I don't mind buying the rest of his stuff right now, even though the rest of his stuff is high. If you look at his autos, patch autos, low numbered stuff, there's been decent movement. It has not been the spike like that one stupid card. So I think it shows you that there's room for price improvement on the other stuff because he's playing great and the team's awesome right now. What are his numbers for the year?
So for the year, he is at...
Does this include yesterday?
Yes, it does.
All right, so let me just take a crack at this because I saw some of the league leaders in stats.
Okay.
I'm going to guess like 2,500 yards.
2,850.
Okay, pretty good. So he's probably in the upper... I would guess that's probably top 10. I don't know if you have the list or no.
I don't.
It's okay. Touchdown to interceptions. I'm going to guess somewhere in like the 20-8 ratio.
Touchdowns to interceptions. He is 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. You did have that right.
Okay. It's a little lower than I thought on touchdowns, but fine. What does it have, completion percentage?
Completion percentage 70.3.
Which is very good.
Okay.
He's playing well, but he's not a game manager. If you watch the kid play, that's not the issue. I mean, he makes some serious throws. You know, Kendrick Bourne is coming along. The tight ends are playing good. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. The running game is really good with Stevenson. And the defense is playing great. And again, it's the AFC. I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but I don't know who's going to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. And I don't think anybody has any logical guess either. Mahomes could very easily get hot like he's been and go nuts and they just run through it. I think the Bills are still very good. The Bengals have been awesome at times.
I feel like you're not saying Titans on purpose.
The Titans are going to get healthy by the end of the year too. That's a scary team if they're healthy. They're the most obliterated lineup right now because of injuries.
I know they have so many injuries and it's ridiculous, but I'm not a fair weather Titans fan. I've always rooted for them no matter what, even when I'm not as into the game. But they always seem to do this. Like, they do well, and then I don't want to say they choke, but they're choking. I feel like they're choking.
Well, that's not maybe fair, I can because they made the NFC Championship game 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I just this is coming from Sports Boy, who knows about sports, Mike. Obviously, yep. I don't you're a little that. Too invested.
That's fair.
I would know better. Thank you.
Okay. So Mac Jones, though, I'm going to go one other AFC East quarterback. I am, by, first of all, this isn't a victory lap because the amount of time I've had to hold and I'm very late and I still don't see the crazy upside.
Mm-hmm.
Tua's got the Dolphins back to 5-7.
Hello.
Do they make the playoffs? I don't know. I don't think it's even a 50-50 chance, less than that. But Tua is playing very well. I am never, and I don't think now, I never have thought he's going to be a top 10 guy, but I think he's going to give you streaks where that team is going to win games. If you have held, and I've held all my Tua stuff with this thought, like, hey, eventually he'll get healthy, eventually. You know, I still think that's a guy right now. People hate hearing this. I don't think Tua is the worst buy right now. I think in general, his stuff's still fairly low. What you have Tua pricing?
Yeah, I do. I've got a, I've got his Mosaic, his 2020 Mosaic, and his Prism. They're both PSA 10s. They both had a spike yesterday, and I guess, you know, you got to say it's after their win. The PSA 10 Prism, which has about 1,000 pop count, it jumped
100.
It's at 100.
Okay,
but I mean, it's a pretty significant drop. It's like a 35-40% jump because it was at 75 before that. So that one jumped, and the Mosaic did the same thing. So it's the Mosaic's at $47, but it was selling at 27. So
yeah, I just think PSA 10s, I love Mosaics anyways. I'm not crazy about the base, but you can get Mosaic Silvers, the Mosaic Refractors. You can get a whole bunch of the different colors as well. You know, reactive orange, the greens, the blues, all that stuff under $100 still. I think Tua is a good buy. I still do. I think they're going to be competitive enough where at the end of the year, there's at least speculation that they're going to make the playoffs. So,
what do you think about that camo pink one? I see that one on here and I've seen that one around.
That's cheap too. What's it, $50?
Yeah, it's only
bucks?
$56 for the
PSA 10. I like that too. Again, cheap, way lower pop because there is some short print to it.
That one jumped the same way.
Spiked yesterday.
Yeah, 37 to 56. Yep.
Yeah. So I like Tua as well. I don't want to break down the rest of the quarterback. I mean, Brady stuff, obviously still where it's at. Not a lot of like, to
Brady's
me,
he's actually gone up a little bit recently, a little bit more.
Yeah, I wonder if some of that is the, if there's a little bit of that bump because of the documentary. I wonder. I don't know.
You think? Because I've heard no one talking about it, including yourself.
I didn't watch any of it, and I won't. I think he's the most boring off-field guy of all. I told you this. What's he going to say that's like of interest? Just because his celebrity talks, is it interesting? No, he's great. I don't think he's ever going to say anything that's interesting, but that's fine. I don't need him to. Greatest quarterback ever. And yesterday, too, in general, there weren't a lot of performances where I was like, this is unbelievable. I think you are seeing, though, the one exception to that. Lamar Jackson throws 4 interceptions and looks horrible against a Browns defense that is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we get a lot of questions about Lamar. How is he still being disrespected? People still think he's a running back playing quarterback, but look what he's done. That's true. And they won the game to his credit, and they're now the number one seed in the AFC. But look at how horrible he looked yesterday. That is the issue to me with Lamar Jackson. He's so inconsistent. His high is unbelievably high. His ceiling is crazy, but his floor is throwing interceptions to, you know, Jesse's cousin who plays for the Browns. I don't know. What's his name?
I have a cousin that plays for the Browns?
Dude, know your family. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
So that's where I'm at with Lamar. And Kyler, the same thing, too. They had their bye this week. But guys, you know, Kyler and Lamar, I look at Kyler. I'm not overly impressed either. I think he's good. But there's a reason his stuff didn't take off. I don't think he's done a whole lot lately. So he's missed games lately. His stats this season are not great, which with that offense, I thought they would be much better. But the team's winning. So, you know, Rodgers played again, put up huge stats. One guy who has kind of caught my attention, though, which I do want to highlight for just a minute, because he is not a quarterback. Justin Jefferson is unbelievable. That receiver from Minnesota, I think, is now 5-7. Like, they're not probably not going anywhere. If you're looking for like a young guy, hey, I want to get in cheap for a non-QB, I'm not sure there's a better buy than Justin Jefferson. He is unbelievable. His pricing is solid, but there's a ton of stuff, gems from last year's product, his rookie year, you can get for under $100. Nice stuff for a couple hundred dollars. His market compared to quarterbacks just makes no sense. So I like Jefferson. The only other guy I want to touch on, Cam Newton, was, brutally
good?
Terrible yesterday. yes, Cam Newton was right. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who they played. I was checking the scores. Who did the Panthers play?
Panthers played. Yesterday they played Dolphins.
Oh, that's right. That's who Tua beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cam was like 5-20, a pick or two. Had one touchdown early. you know, that's again.
How does that work? Can they get rid of him already? Like, they didn't like sign a long term.
You can cut somebody, but you'd have to pay. You know, the difference too is I don't think there's a reason to get rid of him. I don't know what they're going to do the rest of the year, anyways. So,
okay.
Yeah, Cam just need to crack that random microphone. It was good.
I moved it aside.
All right. NBA. I only want to hit on two guys quick and then we're done. Three guys, actually. Number one, Jason Tatum. Take a look at his pricing. The Celtics are actually above 500 finally. Tatum's playing really, really well. For the most part, he had a terrible game the other day. His pricing is so cheap right now. It makes sense because the market's down, a bit of a lull, and we're kind of in that, like I said, that third way through the season, not a ton of buzz. Tatum stuff, I think there's plenty of room for growth. I was looking at his select silver rookie PSA 10s. They're like $600. That is my next target to buy. I think that card could easily jump over a grand when they start getting recognized. He starts playing better again. So I'm high on Tatum right now. I think he's a very good buy. I've got four or five relatively cheap rookies. That's it. But I am going to start buying Tatum over the next week or two, especially as people start trying to panic sell with the holidays. The other two guys now, Ja and Zion.
What's the deal with Zion? He had the card that came out, right? Like that everyone's been waiting on?
Oh, so two notes. So first of all, he was cleared for... pull up this story. I'll talk about the card for a minute. The Zion news is like he's cleared for full participation in practice, maybe?
Yes.
If you could find that, I would be happy. His one-of-one National Treasures Logo Man patch auto from 2019 NT was pulled in China by a
cleared
breaker the
other
day. Cleared
for full basketball activities.
Okay. That logo man, I heard from two sources that the guy was already offered $800,000 and $1 million, did not sell. It's what? The one of one. It's the logo man. Insane card. Ridiculous.
Well, is that comparable though? Like say the year before?
Yeah, Luka's sold for $4 million. I think Luka's might have been the flawless, but his logo man one of one and one of one RPA, whatever kind it was, is the card that sold earlier this year for over $4 million.
That was okay. So that was I guess that's similar price.
I think
Giannis,
I don't know if Giannis' logo man has sold. Yeah, I mean, sky's the limit. I mean, and honestly, if you have a Zion card, I think you hold. But there's been some movement. So he's cleared for full basketball activity.
I'm showing, I pulled up a couple Zion cards, his Prism and his Optic, just to get a baseline of what his stuff's been doing. I mean, it's down more, like, it's not... From this news, you would think like maybe there had been a little bit of a pop in sales, but yesterday his Optic hit almost like a new all-time low for the last 6 months. It's at like $84 PSA 10 2019 Optic. So I don't know.
What's the Prism doing now? Like 270?
Yeah, 269. Did you know that? How do you know these? Well,
there's a lot of them for sale on Facebook.
But yeah, it's just about its lowest.
The reason this is funny is I saw, and I wish I knew so I could call them out publicly, saw on Instagram a couple guys posting charts. Well, this Zion card just sold for X, and it would be like a low-numbered card that hadn't sold in a while. 46%, you know, 80% growth. This is one of the hardest-pushed fantasy ideas right now in the hobby that Zion stuff has taken off. It has not. The groups and the rooms that I'm in on Facebook and Instagram, it's not like Zion stuff is flying off the shelves because he's cleared for basketball activity. I think this is another good example of influencers grab a certain... I don't even want to call them influencers. I think there's like 12 people actually listen to these idiots' advice. Like this is another great example, though. You know what it's a lot like? It's a lot like these stats. LeBron James has the most rebounds of anybody who wore a headband in his 30s in a West Coast game of all time. And the point of the post is, so he's better than Michael for that reason.
Yeah.
These posts lately, here's this random Zion low pop card that hasn't sold in forever, just sold for 40% more 2 days after he gets announced clear for basketball activity. It's just a useless narrative to be pushing. His stuff has not jumped in general. I'm sure
to be clear, when you say low pop, you're not talking about like 500, because I mean, most of the cards that we've been looking at like, have like 10,000.
No, 5, I'm talking 000. About like there's some cards, like some numbered Prism stuff.
I just want to be clear on that, because there is a reason why the really huge pop counts might not go. Like 20,000 pop count for the Prism might not go up as much because people are purposely avoiding that card because they think there's not as much value in prison base, which makes sense.
But his optic, the majority of his mosaic, almost none of the other stuff has jumped. Again, individual card sales, has been a couple individual sales too. I don't know if they've been vetted or not. I just think this is a narrative that's being pushed the last 48 hours. It's laughable. I don't think anybody with a brain in their head is buying Zion right now for inflated prices on the thought that he's cleared for activity. If he comes on the floor tomorrow, steps on the floor and puts up 30, or more realistically, if he steps on the floor in a few days from now and puts up 12 points in 10 minutes, and it's like that flash, like when he first came in, okay, now it's like, I've seen it a little bit. I think it's still preemptive, but fine. But this other stuff is just, to me, the most laughable thing going. So his running mate from that 2019 draft class, though, Ja Morant, knee injury, looks like it's not structural. The quotes that I've seen as of today were like, he's going to miss a few weeks, though. Which is a shame.
Can you go ahead and, for all the new listeners, because there's probably a lot of people who told their family members, you know, over the last week, like, hey, you need to listen to the Sports Card Podcast. So we have new people listening today. We should let them know you are heavily invested in Ja Morant.
Not anymore. I have almost none left.
Wait, you got rid of? I thought you still had like a good chunk of them.
Almost none. I probably have five PSA 10.
Really? Yeah.
There was some good movement the first few weeks of the season. I was like, I'm good. I'm cut my losses. I bought a ton of base like an idiot. I'm out. Mostly okay. Out. Overall, I probably took a bit of a loss with him, though. But not like the loss I'm going to take with Kevin Durant when I move all those PSA 9 tops white rookies. But that's fine. With Ja Morant, though, I certainly wouldn't sell him right now. His prices are going to drop some. What's interesting to me, I think the play with Ja is, where is the team? If he misses 3 weeks, Are they 10 games below 500 and they don't have a shot to make the playoffs? I mean, if you look at them right now, I actually have the standings pulled up here. Give me 1 second. This is good radio.
Do you think when we go to see him in person in a month?
That January 11th versus the Golden State Warriors.
Do you think that Vernon will introduce us to him? Vernon?
I'm gonna say probably not. You're talking about Chris CV? Vernon, of course. I'm gonna go on a limb and say no.
Dude,
here's the issue I have. Here's my worry. They're 10-10 right now. So again, we're a quarter way through the season. If he misses the next, let's say 15 games. If they go 5-10, you know, I just wonder how far out of this are they when we start to get close to, if he misses 15 to 20 games or around the halfway point in the season, are they 10 games out and they just don't have a shot? That's the only time I get fearful. If they can kind of maintain 500, which I don't know if they can or not, then as you start hearing reports, hey, he's getting close to coming back, that's when it gets interesting. Like, dude's prices are going to drop some if they're still going to be relevant at the end of the year. We saw what he did last year with the play-in round. He went nuts. There was a nice spike in price there. And just in general, I think Ja would be a good buy in a few weeks. If you're going short-term, though, I think it really depends on record and relevance in the playoff scheme. But if you're going for just long-term Ja, I don't think you can go wrong. He's a great kid off the court. I mean, he showed us what he can do on the court when he's healthy, and he's not been injury prone in general. So,
well, I think to your point, like earlier in the show, you made the point of it seems like pricing is having a lot more to do with player performance. And when he was performing well back like end of October, his prices did spike. Like they were up for a few weeks, but now that's kind of fallen off. So his prices. I mean, so it seems like at this point he needs to really put up some numbers
if we have
any hope. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the team needs to stay at least in the discussion for the play-in round, which okay. I think they will. I don't think he's going to miss that much time. So, good.
All right. We did big picture? That was big?
I guess. That was it.
Guys.
It was a picture.
We did do something, though, and no one can argue with us there. Guys,
we talked for 25 minutes.
I'm excited. Wait, well, before we do the thing, you wanted to do release calendar? You got a release calendar pick? Where's that? I don't see that.
No pick. I got the graphic next to it, though. You have pricing for those two products?
I absolutely don't, but hold on for me 1 second. Go ahead and talk about it, though.
You know, while you're doing that, why don't we just have a 45-second moment of silence for Jesse's research? I think that would be the best.
I didn't know I was supposed to get it.
You know what really draws the audience in?
Yeah,
silence.
What?
People love silence. It is one of the most underrated things in the world.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I'm learning something today.
All right, two releases. two releases on Wednesday of this week, December 1st, that would be. So you've got 20. Let me address this quick as well. The majority of product you see coming out that is pro uniform is still 2020 not 2021, meaning it's still LaMelo, Anthony Edwards. There's been a lot of complaints. Why is last year's stuff still coming out when this year, and not to mention like Flawless hasn't come out yet for last year. You know, Panini has come out openly and said manufacturing has slowed way down. Getting material, getting supplies to the manufacturers, to the packers has slowed way down. So that's why you're seeing these be pushed off. Now, Flawless has always been the next season. So 2020 rookies, that product will come out in 2021 season. This year, a lot of the stuff is pushed back even further than normal. So we're going to see that on Wednesday. 2020, again, LaMelo, Anthony Edwards rookie, is Optic Contenders. 2 months ago, I would have been like, you know what? I don't like any format of this. I don't like personals. I don't like the idea of holding it. I don't like breaking it. Anthony Edwards is playing out of his mind, and LaMelo has his team, I think like the fifth or sixth. Again, I know it's early. They're 13-9. Minnesota is 10-10. Minnesota's playing much better, winning more games than I thought they would, which they should be, by the way. You have him and Karl Anthony Towns and D'Lo. I don't know how they're not winning more, quite frankly, but fine. And Charlotte's playing really well, 13-9. What are those boxes doing? And give me like the breakdown.
Hang on. I've got the case. The box didn't. Okay, here we go. So this is the 2020-2021 Panini Contenders basketball box.
Nope. Optic nope. Contenders.
That's what I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong thing. It's so it's showing out of stock. Where's the pricing though? It usually shows pricing here. It doesn't have it. It has releasing on December 1st, but no
pricing.
No pricing.
Okay.
There's only two more days. They don't have pricing up for this?
Maybe they're sold out for the time being.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and blame myself. If I had already looked it up, we would have
known. That's fine. Give me the
box. I have pricing on the next one, though.
Well, give me the box. Give me the info first on this one.
So you got one pack per box, 6 cards per pack, 1 auto, 4 inserts or parallels.
That's funny because football, I believe, was always 2 autos. 1 auto. I mean, Edwards stuff is crazy expensive right now, which I like. LaMelo, obviously, like I said, playing really well. Yeah, so I like the upside there now because it's not just one guy, LaMelo, who we kind of thought was overhyped coming in, played well. But, you know, now you've got LaMelo, Edwards, Wiseman's coming back. Actually, Wiseman and Clay are both going to the D-League. The Warriors will not lose games anyways. And now you have those two potentially on a path to return.
For everybody who doesn't know, because I do, D-League means, again, just like...
Developmental league? Like the AAA.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's that's what
minor league basketball. By the way, I did find pricing on Steel City here. So $650 a box. 2 inserts, 2 parallels, 1 autograph. Yeah, here's the issue. Again, this is too... It's expensive. Is it high? Those cards are going to... The color autos of those guys are going to sell for unbelievable money. I wouldn't be ripping this stuff personally, though. Again, this is one, if you want to get into a break, and I would only break this product if you're looking to get in. If you have some more money and you want to just throw some cash around, one or two things. Get into random teams breaks, buy a bunch of spots, try to land a big team, or go PYT and just buy the Hornets or the Timberwolves and chase that way. The only downside to the PYT, in my opinion, is those teams are so expensive and you're only getting 12 hits a box. Or actually, I could be wrong. Let me look at that. I think these are 10 and 20 box cases. Yeah. These come in inner cases, they're called. So a master case is 2 inner cases of 10 boxes each. You'll see a lot of people break these as inner cases, which is a sealed case, only 10 boxes.
Is there any different? There's no difference in cards or anything, right?
No. It's just how they're packed up. So this is another one of those products. You just have to be careful. If you're looking to get into breaks, check pricing. Am I buying a master or an inner case? Just look at the particulars.
Sure.
But there's going to be some monster selling cards out of this. To me, though, I'm only breaking it. I don't think there's money at $650 a box. You probably get a little cheaper. That's too high for me to be sitting home ripping boxes to hit a $9 auto of somebody in hopes of hitting a $5,000 LaMelo.
Gotcha.
I do like the upside. The reason I'm bringing this up at all is 2 months ago, before the season started, I wouldn't have been in on this no matter the price, unless it was $300. It was too expensive. What have we seen from the class? There's no depth. There's one guy. Well, now there's not one guy. Now you get Edwards. And not to mention, is Ronick will know this. Ronick, Tyrese Maxey, was he a rookie last year too? Or was he 2 years ago?
I'm pretty sure he was last year, but I can check.
Yeah, if that's the case too, I mean, Maxey's stuff is selling really well. He's playing awesome for Philly right now. Like I said, Wiseman has a decent market and it's going to keep climbing because he's coming back. And that's the hottest team in basketball. I'm not out on 2020 basketball like I was a while ago. So I think there's some value in the product in general, but I would break it. The other one is 2021 XR. And he was, Ronick just messaged. He was a 2020. So you've got three big chases. Wiseman still sells well. I guarantee I'm forgetting one or two other names that are solid. So I would break it for sure. The other one is 2021 XR football.
I don't even remember seeing this before. XR.
We don't talk. You know, it's funny. XR is a product we don't talk about a lot. It's toward the cheaper side. The one good thing about it is you get a bunch of inserts, numbered stuff. So from a value,
it's like two autos per box.
What's it cost a box, by the way?
$400.
I would think this is one you could get at a local card shop or somewhere else cheaper. Like, there's sometimes I'm like, man, online retailers are going to have it the best price, the only one. I bet you can get this for quite a bit cheaper because allocation price is like half that, if even that.
Does Blowout get their own allocation?
I don't know. I'm not sure how they do it. I know they buy from everybody under the sun and they get tons of products somehow, but I don't know exactly how. XR is, again, this is a product, if you ask, you know, the elite guys in the hobby or snobs, they don't buy it at all. They don't touch XR. XR does okay. They actually, it sells pretty well. And the fact that you get a bunch of other stuff in there, you're not just chasing the two autos. I like that part as well. The numbered stuff, especially, I just think you've got enough quarterbacks here where you're going to see, you know, the first random insert number to 49 of Mac Jones is going to sell for $400. In years past, it would have been $75.
They do have one of one autos in there too. I wonder if you would they be a one of one auto of Mac Jones in there?
Yeah, I would assume everybody probably has one of one version, whether it be like a shield or a logo patch or something. Those are going to sell for stupid money. Majority of those will be sticker autos. Okay, so they're, you know, they don't sell as high as on card. My point is, I think this is a product that gets overlooked a lot of times. I wouldn't spend, I mean, if you could get this for like 3.25, I don't think it's the most terrible box to break personally, just because, again, this is one of the few that's going to have a bunch of base and other things in it. So I don't, how many cards per pack per box? Like, what's the breakdown of that?
So 2 packs per box, 7 cards per pack. So 17 or 14 cards per pack.
Does it have like parallel insert, box, whatever? On average?
So 2 autos, 1 memorabilia, 1 insert, 4 parallels, and the one are in the one of one per case.
There's a one of one card per case?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just...
Wait, do you think that that's a typo and it's one of one per box?
No, there's no way.
Okay.
It's got to be per case. I think this is an... Football this year has become like basketball, where you have some teams that are unbelievably high and then a bunch of cheap teams. The one thing different is I think the majority of people in football who are actually buying and ripping football are chasing PC. I think football PYTs are the best way to go always, because a lot of guys don't care about hitting a Mac Jones. Like, they'd be happy if they hit it to make money.
Sure.
But in general, they want to get their, you know, random second round draft pick for the Bears, because they just like the Bears. I think football has the heaviest correlation of PC to guys ripping boxes. But like, really? That's all I do. Like, when I'm buying into football breaks, I buy the Patriots if there's Brady stuff, and if there's not, I buy the Bucks. So I think it's a good product for that. And the fact that the boxes are not $800, like the majority of football this year, not a bad product to break. But I would just focus on PYTs with it. So I don't know how Eddie's going to do XR. He likes random teams a lot for this stuff. I prefer PYTs for football. So, and then Mac Jones at this point, I mean, you'll see the Patriots, at least if the breaker has a brain in his skull, which the majority don't. So that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you think the Donruss Mac Jones card will go down as his rookie card? Like, I know because multiple people,
oh, have, like
people
historically,
have multiple. Yeah, like people have multiple rookie cards technically.
No, this is the one. In a year where, like, remember when the idiots were paying $3,000 for those? Probably less than a year. So yeah. I like XR. That's the point. Boom, okay. Roasted.
Ooh. We get to have a game day.
Hey, you want to do your NFT thing? I keep sucking down water and monsters before the show. I got to pee. You want to do your game thing, or you want to just stop recording? I mean, not your game, your NFT thing. You want to do that?
The NFT thing? You go, TT. I'm going to cover this NFT thing real quick. This better be a fast TT. All right, he's gone. Guys, NFT thing is just a simple announcement if you guys are into it, because I mean, honestly, it's hard not to be. I opened a Mike and I were sitting on the sofa this weekend. I was like, you know what, I'm bored watching this YouTube video, I'm gonna go on to the app. I bought a pack for $10. I had Honestly, now I can't even remember. Maybe a Wiseman or something in there. I sold it. I immediately just put it up with a $5 starting bid and a $25 buy it now because I saw that he was in one of the challenges. Someone bought it for $25 like an hour later. So I made $15 on it. I'm not going to say you're going to do that with every pack that you open because there's only three cards in there. But if you care at all, if you want to get in, they do have some releases. In fact, as of today, hang on, is that today? What's today? Today's the 28th. So, or I'm sorry, today's the 29th. So yes, as of today, starting at 10 a.m. Central Time. So this is already out by the time you're listening. Panini has the prismatic insert packs, which I'm going to tell you, as far as someone who's now learning what inserts are and Kaboom and Downtown and all these other things, I think these inserts, these prismatic ones, I think they look awesome. Maybe it's just me. They also still have a few of the green packs. They've got some of the base packs, and I believe they have some of the blue wave packs in there too. But there you go. Mike's back. How did it go, bud?
You just living the dream? Just doing the show by yourself?
It was so good. It was really, really, really good. Did you happen to see that email about the NFT thing, the prismatic cards? Because there will be physical cards coming out.
I did not see that.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's like that, the like a prism effect, you know, multiple colored, like a rainbow color type thing on a side of it, and then black and white on the other side.
So you get the NFT and cool. The physical?
No, not in this, but I mean, all of these cards that are NFTs, they will eventually be releasing in physical packs, is my understanding. So you should be getting this when they come out. So even if you're not into NFTs, you know, if you want to at least check out what these cards are going to look like, you can. There you go.
Well, all right. Very excited. There you go. By the way, my NFT note of the week, that Mac Jones that I quadrupled my money on and felt like a pro is now doing $1,000 plus. So I don't feel that great about it anymore.
You could have 10X, bro.
I know influencers like us and everybody else are not allowed to talk about losses or things because everybody, we never make wrong moves. All we do is 10X our money. That's it. I'll say that for another show, but I'm getting really sick of that line of thinking in this hobby. All people with a microphone talk about is their wins and how great they are and how knowledgeable they are.
You're tired of people talking about that, or you're tired?
Yeah, because I know these guys are liars. I've gotten smashed on a bunch of buys the last 6 months, like everybody has. But somehow, everybody with a microphone, a show of any kind, has made a ton of money. It's amazing. Every card I buy, still, even though the market crashed, 10x. I don't know how I'm doing it. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable because it's not true. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's play a game. Let's cheer me up.
Let's cheer you up. Let's cheer up the audience because the audience can play along in their heads. You know, not really.
What is this? Is this a
sports card? This is sports card trivia. This is just a fun thing, guys. I just wanted to have a little fun. And we're not going to spend a ton of time, but we were hanging out yesterday and I was thinking, man, Lord knows what trivia would be if I was answering these. But I wanted to quiz you a little bit. Just to test your knowledge, you're usually the go-to guy.
Ronick, any wrong answers, cut. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to Indy for putting this list of questions together. I mean, Indy is such a go-getter. Like, you message him, hey, could you put together a little bit of this? And I'm going to tell you, he got the question and he got us multiple choice answers.
I've been very pleased with Indy's performance as of late on socials. He kicked over some good notes. I didn't know about the game as much, but good. Apparently good.
Everyone
game
give
stuff.
Indy a pat on the back.
Okay, move. Here we go. That's enough.
Here we go. Question one. The blank slate case hit comes out of which Panini basketball product? And if you want more, oh God, he's dear.
I'm
going to
tell you right now. Basketball, okay. I'm going to be the blank slate.
I'll give you multiple choice, okay? Absolute, Donruss, Court Kings, Contenders.
Court Kings.
All right, that's good. He got it, folks. He got it. Wow.
I was playing a little deer in the headlights there. I didn't understand what you said at first, and I was like, "There's like now, okay, good.
Okay."
I'm gonna get the next three wrong to balance it out. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's good. Which of these players have the highest PSA 10 Prism rookie pop count? Trae Young,
Zion,
Ja Morant, Luka Doncic.
Oh, Luka.
Tyler Hero.
Luka.
That is incorrect.
PSA 10 base or just Prism in general?
PSA 10 Prism rookie pop count. This would be base, yeah. You are close. Luka has about 800 less than Ja Morant, though. 18,890 for Ja, 18,072 for Luka.
That's a half a win. Okay.
Here's the thing, guys. Pretty good. We're having fun and we're learning. You don't That's
if,
the best
If you
thing.
Keep telling me you're having it. Fun, it's because we're really not. We're trying to force it.
I'm having questions. Fun. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. Go.
You're doing good.
SGC 10, an SGC 10 of which of these cards sold for over $15,500? A Tom Brady Bowman Chrome rookie. Josh Allen contenders ticket stub auto.
Oh, I hope not. Ugh.
Alex Ovechkin future watch auto out of 99.
You know what sport he plays?
Hockey.
Okay.
Zion Williamson rookie kaboom.
I mean, the only one that makes sense to me in that range is Brady.
It is. It is Brady. But Josh Allen did sell for $15,000, only $500 less. So that's a fun fact for you.
I'd ask for a refund.
Which of these hobby boxes cost the least via blowout? All right. 2019 to I'm just going to start with the first year. 2019 Prism Basketball, 2020 Contenders Football.
Yep.
2021 Formula One Dynasty.
Nope.
2021 Select Basketball.
Oh, it's got to be Contenders, not even close.
Select Basketball close. Is kind of close at 900, but
what's Contenders
Football
six?
Is 600. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Man, I'm surprised Select.
You actually are smart. It's not all show. That's cool.
Well, I have these questions. I have the answers in front of me.
You better not.
I deleted this.
Well, which of these is not considered a case hit? Kaboom, Galactic, Downtown, Black Velocity.
I would hope Kaboom's because there's one per pack these years. I don't think Kaboom is a case hit.
That would be incorrect. Black Velocity. Parallel.
I know what it is. It's a 101. Not a case hit because you don't get one per case. I would argue Kaboom is not a case hit because you get like 50 a case now.
Argue all and they're you in want. Retail. You got the answer wrong.
That's a bull. Okay, that's fine. Next.
All-time record for Chris Paul card is which of the following? 124,000? 116,000?
I have no idea.
97,000? 135?
116.
124.
Overpriced.
It was an 05 Exquisite Collection RPA BGS 9 Auto 10 via Golden. All right. We have like six more. Which of these Prism PSA 10 rookie cards sells for the least? 2019 Prism Drew Locke. 18 Prism Sam Darnold. 20 Gavin Lux Tops Base. Or 20 Tops Louis Robert base. Which of these sells for the least?
It's either Lux or Drew Locke, and they're both trash. I'm going to go Drew Locke.
Drew Locke was the most at $37. Lux, though, was the least at $12.
What's Robert sell for?
28.
What?
I'm just saying.
Don't buy this.
I'm just saying. You better step up your game, bro. What is the most graded sports card of all time?
Zion Prism. Oh, no. Ken Griffey Upper Deck. 89 Upper Deck.
All right. You did step it up. I didn't even have to give you the multiple choice. Very well done. 42, almost 43,000. That's a lot. That's a lot of card.
It's not a little.
Actually, second place was also Ken Griffey for his 90. Wait.
Is that wrong?
You are wrong. I'm just realizing the Upper Deck was the second most.
Oh, really?
Tops traded PSA 9, King Griffey, was 43,000. Wow. The Upper Deck PSA 8 was the second most. Yikes. Dang it. I gave you credit and it wasn't due.
I knew it was all Griffey, right. Though. Half credit.
Whatever. How much did a 2003-2004 LeBron rookie, that was LeBron's rookie year. How much did a 2003 six-box case of Topps Chrome basketball sell for? Here's a hint. It sold via Golden.
I saw this a couple weeks ago. 170. It was stupid. Way too much money.
I'm going to give you the options. 295, 337, 423, or 355.
This is unbelievable. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because maybe it came in a case of six boxes before.
A six-box case.
Case? I don't. They weren't 12-box cases then? Because individual boxes are like 20 grand right now, I think. It must be an actual case. Once you know you're getting a case hit, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
300.
337.
Yeah.
300 was not an option. But yeah, that was close enough. 300.
That's insane.
It's absolutely insane. Okay.
I also wonder how many cases are left of that, though, too. That's nuts.
When was the last year Topps had basketball license? I'll give you the options if you need them.
Oh.
Please LeBron don't embarrass me.
Be quiet. LeBron had. Oh, and so did KD in 07. Who was 08 rookies? Westbrook. 2000.
I'm going to tell you, you're right so far. It is 2000 something.
Well, I know it's at least 2009 at the earliest. I can't think of any big rookies after that. 2011.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Should have stuck with 2009, bro.
2009.
Curry. Okay. Curry's rookie year. That was the last one.
Oh, so 2010. I'm sorry. I was going for the first year they didn't make it. So I was a year off. 2010's okay. The first year without it. I figured it was 2011. Okay. I was close.
All right. 1 year off. All right. I'll give you that. All right. Last one.
I knew
one.
Curry had it. I couldn't think of anything after. I was close.
This is something more in my world. Welcome. Fantastic. Which one of these Leaf Pop Century cards sold for the most money? A 2018 Donald Trump PSA 10, a 2011 Harrison Ford SP Auto, a 2011 Kim Kardashian Auto 1 of 5. It was a BGS 9.5. A 2014 Al Pacino 1 of 1 Auto.
I would have bought the Pacino. I would think it would be Kim or Donald, but I don't have any idea.
Beating out by $12, Donald Trump, Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian sold for $9,000. Donald Trump sold for $89,800.
I didn't mind that. It was a little too long, but I actually didn't mind. It was something different. All right.
I just think it, you know what? Guys listen to the show for facts about cards. Sure. It's a way to mix in facts and a little fun.
I like those questions, though.
Thank you, Indy. Good job, bud. And on such short notice. Appreciate it. All right. That being said, we got picks from phone and then mailback?
Yeah, let's bang through these. We're running long here. Max Scherzer signed a 3-year deal, $130 million with the Mets. People are all of a sudden excited about this. It's the Mets. I would say take a breath. I think Scherzer's great. He's not 25. I don't think this is going to affect his cards in the least. The Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla, so let's not pretend like the Mets are making great moves. Ridiculous. We mentioned this already. Golden State assigned Klay Thompson and James Wiseman to the... I said D-League like a moron. It's G-League. Ronnie, do you know what that stands for?
Wow, you made me look like an idiot.
I thought it was D as in dog, like the developmental league. What is the G-League? I know what it is, but what does the G stand for?
I think it's a sponsor. They're sponsored by Gatorade, so it's called the G-League.
Oh, okay. Is it referred to as a developmental league, or am I making that
up? It is the developmental league, but it's called the G League.
Okay, called the G League. I got you. It would make more sense if it was called the D League, because that's a number, but that's fine. They're both coming back. I think there's huge room for growth on both those guys. And quite frankly, I think Curry as well. We're starting to get to this, just an insane run. If he makes a deep playoff run and or won a championship again, I just don't know you're going to see a better time to get a Curry rookie card than right now. I just think we're going to continue to see this growth and him go nuts. And getting those two guys back would be ridiculous. We already talked about the John Morant story. There's a picture of me in a tuxedo for some reason. Panini just released their release calendar now through the end of the year, even into next season. People have wondered, why are all these coming out at once? Really goes back to the supply chain. There is a ton of product. This is just Panini, too. A ton of product coming out. Flawless Baseball, which I really like, is the 22nd. 1-in-1 Basketball comes out next week on the 8th. I love that one. Immaculate Basketball is the 22nd. Mosaic Basketball is this Friday. I mean, a ridiculous amount of stuff. Football has 1, 2. I think football has 10 releases in the month of December.
Well, I guess they're thinking there's going to be a spike in buying. It sounds like if they're going to have that many releases, they must be expecting guys to buy.
I'd say right now, an underrated product that I actually bought two cases of this ahead of time to rip is 2021 National Treasures Racing. It's all NASCAR. Stuff sells pretty well. It actually does all right. I like that stuff.
Oh, cool.
Bunch of pictures of my elbow, bunch of pictures of my dogs who have just started barking.
Yep. Do you got the Wanda Franco one?
I don't have a picture of that. You have this for Indy Notes, right?
Yeah.
He signed a monster deal.
11-year deal with Tampa.
What do you get paid for that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Juan DeFranco, Feinstein said this before he got called up. It's like the most can't-miss prospect of all time, it sounds like, for people. Locking him up long-term is great in general. The fact that he's locked up long-term in Tampa, not so great for his card. I don't think it's going to hinder his
$182 million.
Oh, it's nothing. Under $20 million a year for that guy. It's probably too much right now, but they're paying him ahead of time to get a bit of a deal. I think it's a great move by the Rays. It's nice to see the Rays actually spend some money, too. They have a ton of talent that comes up, and they always lose it because they don't have the money to pay for it. So, good for them.
Actually, this is $182 million over 11 years and potentially $223 million over 12 years. So, whatever that means, but okay.
There was a little bit of a bump in his pricing this weekend because of that. In particular, it was Bowman Chrome 2019 PSA 10 bumped like 10 to 12% across the board, it looked like. So, good news there. I think you got to keep, and we need to do some talking as well about the MLB winter ball when that starts picking up more, just to highlight some prospects there. But yeah, Wander's not going anywhere. So, I guess good news, kind of. Maybe. So,
if you care about baseball, which who does? Boring.
Oh, tickets for the National next year, the National Sports Card Convention, which is in Atlantic City, just went on sale. I'm just going to go ahead and get us a couple of VIP tickets just to at least get in the door. I'm not positive either. I got to talk to Adam. I don't know if we have guaranteed booth space or not. So if you have space you would like to sell me and Jesse, I can guarantee you, like last year, we're going to bring a ton of traffic to your table.
I thought Adam said something about like he did have space.
I thought he did too. I need to confirm with Adam. So
it's weird that we don't, like, they didn't save a table for us. I mean, that's fair. Whatever.
I mean,
I have a conspiracy theory that someone at the National does not like us. I don't know if that's true or not. That's a theory. That's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, we also didn't do the greatest live podcast from the show last year. This year
we had a bigger crowd than anybody else.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, cool. Let's go mailbag and be done.
Mailbag. All right, guys. We're taken from all the corners of the social media world. We got Discord, Instagram, and your FB questions. Let's start with a little Discord. Man with blue tick wants to know how much of the junk wax moniker falls on the players themselves. Aside from Griffey and Bonds, who both had flawed careers, there aren't many impactful hobby rookies across all sports during that period. Are we supposed to get excited for Troy Aikman rookie cards? So his basic question is it because of the players themselves or just because they, you know, the hobby at the time?
Well, first of all, no, there was way more produced than needed to be. Second of all, too, Troy Aikman, like how many guys in this in the last 10 years drafted are going to be better all time than Troy Aikman?
That's
maybe a couple.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm a Troy Aikman fan.
Yeah, I guess that's my thing. Like in general, it's not like there aren't impactful rookies every year. That's why the ones who are have a big market and have a legacy in the sport like Troy Aikman. Is it the most exciting card to pull? I guess not. But if you look at historically, it's not his fault. He was a great top, I don't know, probably top 15-ish type quarterback.
But let's move on past Troy Aikman, though. You feel like there's more players, though, that still deserve like some attention. It's just like more overproduction that caused the jump.
I think in 30 years, we're going to say the same thing about the 2000s. Like, hey, 2001 was great. There was Albert Pujols, but then there was a soft spot for the next 4 or 5 years. There was no standout, crazy, awesome rookie because there were not that many crazy, standout, awesome players.
Were they overproducing cards at the time?
No, that was the issue then, was overproduction. Yep.
Okay. Instagram. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Hey, Bill.
Donovan.
Hey, Bill, I could use a cone.
I was your favorite one.
Good. I said you were arguably the best co-host the show's ever had. I would make that argument. Oh,
that feels really good. I don't know. Jason did pretty good.
We just spent a ton of money on a new studio space, so I hope you're doing good.
Oh, my God.
You're doing great.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited for our new studio space. Donovan Barnes. From Instagram, when is the best time to sell nowadays? Before the big event, during the big event, after the big event?
In general, I think it's before. I actually still think the hype before. We've seen this the last few years with the Super Bowl, with the championships, you know, with finals. Everybody says, oh, it's going to spike the week of or right after. I think a lot of it's the buildup too, especially with off-season awards, MVPs and crap like that. I'm not waiting until off-season to sell somebody. I think you sell before those.
I think it goes along with a lot of investing in anything because the stock market has always had the phrase, buy the rumors, sell the news.
There you go.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense here too. All right. From the Facebook, Dennis Shea. This is actually one for me. Full-time sports boy walked away from year-end checks. I did walk away from Dell, as all of you know, today. Actually, technically, I'm on vacation time, so it's technically worked there through December 1st. But here's a fun fact. They don't have year-end checks. I did walk away from a week's worth of paid vacation at the end of the year. However, the show, you, the lovely fans, you deserve better than half of my attention. You deserve 100%, and that's what I'm here to give you.
That's a reward, is what you're saying.
It's like a reward. You know, that's a TikTok thing. You'll get it one day. Sure. Colin O'Rourke wants to know.
Good. I should have TikTok all the time, too. I want you to do that one day.
I will. When do you guys think we'll see Donruss Optic Football? Didn't see it mentioned in the Panini product release list.
I'm going to go April. I think it's going to come out very late. Optic, that chromium material is hard to get. I think it's going to be late.
Yep. Interesting.
Sad, okay. But I do. I think, I hope I'm wrong, because Optic is awesome, especially in football, but I have a feeling it's going to be after the season's done.
Okay. This one's a little bit longer, but just bear with me. Your ADD is going to want me to stop reading, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Adam Agata. I have a question regarding MLB players who use steroids but had Hall of Fame numbers. Is it better long term in the terms of card value for them to, one, get the Hall of the one time Hall of Fame boost and then more or less be forgotten in the mix, or two, never get the Hall of Fame, but to have their statuses publicly debated every few years? He says, I think about Shoeless Joe Jackson is much more remembered because of his controversy than many of his equivalent peers. For example, George Sisler, Napoleon LaJoy.
I mean, that's a tough. I would have gone with guys from the 80s, not the 1910s. like Barry Bonds is more relevant than Jim Thome, who either is or is going to be a Hall of Fame. I think Thome might have gotten in. Ronick, is Jim Thome in the Hall of Fame?
Ronick?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, nailed it. No one's going to argue that Barry Bonds is still more relevant than Thome. Barry Bonds is also, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time, but seriously flawed, but steroids maybe never makes the list. Is there more buzz created this time of year? Which actually, I think that I'm pretty sure the recent, like the nominations for next year just came out. I thought something just happened with baseball. Like it's Bonds and Clemens last year on the ballot and a couple names were announced. I could be wrong about that. So, ballots just got sent out. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so I mean, are they more remembered? Yes. Does that mean Bonds' market is stronger than Thome? I mean, maybe, but at the same time, I would say, well, if Bonds got in, though, if some of these players were just that great and they got in, it would help too. But yeah, it is interesting. Shoeless Joe is a good example. We talk about him because of the scandal more than anything on the field. So, I don't know. That's a good question. I would be...
I'll tell you this much. I would want a Barry Bonds over anything else, any of the other guys you just mentioned, or a Shoeless Joe over any of those guys he mentioned, because I've actually heard of them.
You've heard of Shoeless Joe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard of Shoeless Joe, but I've never heard of George Sisler.
You ever heard of Pete Rose?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, really? Okay. I was actually curious. So Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame, but it's the greatest hitter of all time.
Was he a steroid guy or something?
No, he bet on baseball.
Oh, yep, but that's the thing. I know about him.
Who he is. So yeah. He's relevant. Yeah, that's I guess it probably is more relevant then when there's controversy around them than not. So yeah, it's
that's
a good question.
Fun fact. Interesting. Joe DiRienzo. Thanks, Joe.
I missed the name reading. This is good.
General admission and VIP tickets for the National 2022 dropped this morning.
Yep.
What are some of the things they typically put in the VIP gift package? Is it worth the price?
Let me tell you right now, I have never bought a ticket for the National. I've always been a dealer, a vendor, so you get vendor passes. I've actually never bought one. So we're going to have to this year. That's not true. Unless we get the media. We get media passes. I've never bought one. I would say the biggest thing, aside from the packages and all stuff you get, at least going to the VIP level gets you access early to all 5 days starting Wednesday. I think the VIP at least is the way to go. It's $169 for 5 days. Not crazy expensive. I think, and then look at the other packages that are even more expensive. It might be worth it to you. When I was looking this morning, the VIP was what I was going to buy. I forgot about the media thing. So yeah, we're not buying that.
Okay. Yeah. There's two different ones. There's like a super VIP and a VIP.
Yeah. I don't know the difference, but in terms of what the difference is, I don't know. You can read the difference. I don't know what it actually is.
And it doesn't mention what the gift is. Yeah. So,
yeah. I know you get free tickets to some of the autographs, some of the signers, but I don't really know. In general, I'm told though, the autograph tickets you get, like to go get an autograph, pretty much pays for the pass. So,
oh, okay. That's good to know. Chris Feliciello.
Yep.
With LeBron prices down, what card / graded card would you suggest in the $500 range for a long-term hold?
Yeah, I don't have anything, Chris. Not specific. I'm not super up in the market.
I pulled this up because I didn't think you'd have it.
Yeah.
That being said, the LeBron, hang on. I'm pulling it up. The LeBron, oh, there it is. 2003 Topps card, 221. The PSA 10 of that card goes for $3,500. However, if you wanted to go with like a PSA 9, you can get it for $752. And it's also at like that all-time low. PSA 8 goes for $411.
What's the pop on the 8? Do you know or no?
On the 8, it's $3,000.
Oh, that's actually not insane. I was actually going to say there's two cards. There's the Flair Tradition, I think, and the Topps Matrix, that it's LeBron, Wade, Carmelo. Depending on the grade that fits into that $500 range, I would go with one of those two because I think it's a great. The 9.5 of the Flair Tradition is only like $1,500. I bought that card for $3,000 and thought I got a steal on it 6 months ago. I bet you can get a 9 or an 8 in the $500 range, I would think, if the gem's only doing 15 to 18. I think that triple card, though, is awesome because you have three surefire Hall of Famers. Kind of like, hey, this is the argument for this is the best class of all time.
John Lauriati, Mac Jones, talent or system?
Both, but it's both. He's not a system quarterback. He's a smart guy. Like, you can see his intelligence. And also, the system is not that great. They have two good tight ends. They have a couple decent receivers. Jacoby Myers, it's not like he's got Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne out there. So the kid can play. And he throws the ball down the field pretty well, too. And he's making less and less mistakes, which goes to his IQ. I think it's both. It helps that he's got Josh McDaniels there. But, yeah, he's talented.
Okay. I also just interrupt here. I'm loving all these new names. If I can't pronounce your name, it's probably because you haven't told me how to pronounce it, which means you haven't asked before. So,
well, you've just been butchering it for months and they've never said anything.
Mike, it's good. It's all good.
That's a compliment, though.
Let's stay on the Mac Jones tray one more time here. Rick Leal. Mac Jones, will the prices of his current low-end cards sustain value once the mid to high-end optic prism come out?
A lot of them will not. Don Russ being the prime example. I don't know off the top of my head, though, how high his pricing is on his other stuff right now. On his absolute base rookies and other things like that. If it's still already relatively low, I think it probably holds. But if you see outliers, crazy spikes like that Don Russ, those are going to come crashing down.
Oh, okay.
Hard. Yep. H-A-R-D. Hard.
Kyle Ellie. L-A. It starts with an E. E-H.
No.
That's hard. Is there a geographical bias to cards? Example, will a Chris Middleton card sell for more in Wisconsin than it does in, say, Texas? Obviously, big names like Giannis won't see as drastic of a difference.
Absolutely. Hometown guys of non-headline superstar type guys sell for way more money. A Julian Edelman card is going to sell for more to Boston Card Show than anywhere else. Tom Brady's going to sell high across the board. He made a good example. Chris Middleton's going to sell high in Wisconsin. Giannis is going to sell high everywhere. Yeah, because guys are there. They're chasing. They want to see it. Go ahead.
If you're going to a card show, do you purposely stick away? If you're in like that player's hometown, do you purposely avoid that card because you know it's going to be overpriced and try and buy it online instead? I mean, unless you can, of course, find a good deal. But it just makes me think like, oh, if I'm going to go to Wisconsin card show again, I'm not probably going to look for the Chris Middleton because I'm probably going to pay more here than I would online where it's not like the hometown.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Jason, you're not going to insult me? No, I will. But not in this question. Butcher the next name and I'll insult you.
Can't do it. John Boren. John, when does ultra-modern basketball bounce back? Lots of collectors, including myself, are upside down on cards from this summer, and it's rough. It's tough to make a move on anything when guys like Tatum, Durant are down.
I think you'll see some bounces based on player performance. And when I say bounce back, I don't think, like, John, I'm in the same boat. Again, we can't say this. We have a big microphone. This, if I were just to go my card career over the past 6 months, I'm in the negative overall, guaranteed. I've done a lot of buying and flipping instantly and made my 10, 20%. But a lot of those things I bought in bulk or bought big pieces of are down from when I bought them. And it may never rebound, quite frankly, to those all-time highs I bought at. So when does it come back? I think we'll start seeing stuff come back. But if you bought in February, like those Durants I bought in February or, January, February, I don't know, for $400 a piece. Granted, my cost average is down because I sold 15 or 20 at 500 when they spiked. So I'll say my average is 300 for my 07 Tops PSA 9, the white borders. I don't know that those go back to 400, even in the midst of a championship run this year, quite frankly. So
disagree with the whole, like, not if the prices ever come back. Like, in general, I think no matter what, we will see another boom. When that is, what that looks like, how big of a boom, that's yet to be determined. But
yeah, I wonder. Like my biggest loss on a card ever, and it's not a loss because I haven't sold and I probably won't. I bought a 1996 Flair Row Zero Kobe BGS 9.5. I paid $27.5 for it. It's worth like $8,000 right now. I don't know that that card's ever coming. I don't know that card ever. Even if there's a boom next year, I think you would see a boom in a different aspect of the market than the stuff I got into.
The boom we saw covered almost every market, including new ones, like bringing in tennis and skateboarding and all that. So I say that because I'm not basing it on my personal opinion, but after reading that white paper a little more in depth and seeing like Luber pointing out like all these statistical like graphs and charts and all this stuff of like how the market has performed over the long term, not just in the last year or anything, it would make sense that we would see another boom as the market would continue to increase over time. So who knows? I could be wrong, but just based on that. So,
yep, that's fair.
Thad Walker's up next. Thad wants to know, is Alex Verdugo, is that right, on a trajectory to be the best redheaded Mexican baseball player ever?
Yep.
Is that a serious question or did I just say something?
Verdugo might be.
Okay.
He played well for the Sox this year. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the best player with 9 fingers under the height of 6'2".
That's a game. Sure.
Just go with yes and move on.
Christopher Duff, which if Chris is asking, it can't be good. I'm hoping they can pull in the Ringer's own Chris Ryan for a debate on Rookie of the Year versus Angels in the outfield.
Ryan joined us one time to talk about soccer.
Do you think Christopher Lloyd really made that big of a difference versus...
Christopher Lloyd still alive?
Yes.
He is? Okay.
That's why I still hold out hope for some kind of revival. Whether it's a remake or a sequel to Back to the Future, I don't know. I don't know, but I want there to be something. I want more stories in that universe.
I want for you.
Thank you, buddy. All right. I got 4 more questions. You want to do them? This is already a long episode.
Let's go.
Nat Thorpe. What do you typically expect as a mid-season slump in values of players, i.e. Trey Young playing numbers are great, values are down. Giannis playing numbers are great, values are down. What do you typically expect as the mid-season slump in values? I guess what? I don't know how you could say what.
I mean, I expect values to slump right now, even though some players are playing relatively well. You know, proven commodities like Giannis are down because I think guys like, it's the middle of the season. What's going to happen? It's going to spike. The playoffs will happen. So in the middle, you're going to get that lull. The problem with Trae Young, too, is the team's playing 500 ball. He's playing very well, but they're not 18-2 like Curry. I think they're 10-10, 11-10 in that range. So some of that. Same with Tatum. The Celtics, I think, are pretty much right at 500 as well. He's slumping. He had some great moments. Team's not playing good. It's like, okay, well, we'll buy in a little bit later when it's closer to the playoffs and we have a chance at an event happening where he wins a series or goes nuts. But I think a lot of that is typical.
You said this earlier. What is 500 ball?
Even. 10 wins, 10 losses.
Oh. 500. Why don't you say even? It's a lot. It's less syllables. You can say it faster.
I thought Sports Boy would have picked up on the...
Well, this is Jesse asking.
Oh, that's my fault. I didn't know. You can't tank off there.
Duh. Danny Ginnivan.
Yep.
It's spelled like minivan with a G.
You're doing it.
Ginny Van. Danny, thoughts on the sales?
If this guy's last name is really Ginny Van, and that's how he pronounces it, I'll give you $100.
Danny, let me know, please. Thank you. I'll split it with you. Thoughts on the sales of Mac Jones PSA 10 base rated rookie cards going for over $1,000? We've already answered that. All right. Joe McLaughlin.
Everyone, I think you asked, got that one right. Yep.
Well, it's not spelled how you think it should never be. Mind. So I could be wrong. Everyone asks who to invest in. Why not ask who not to invest in? Mike, any opinions on who not to invest in right now that maybe others might say differently?
Who not to invest in? Yeah, I mean, the one guy I was very vocal about that scared me was Justin Herbert. I think he's very good, but his prices were so high, I didn't think he could live up. And quite frankly, I don't like now compared to 2 months ago. If you invested high then, I don't think you're sitting in the best position. I think guys who play great but are on losing teams, Bradley Beal's a good example of that. That scares me. It maybe gets traded to a contender, but I don't like it. Cole Anthony's another guy, like for the Magic. He's having a very good season. The Magic are crap. Like, what's that guy going to do to get his pricing up? And then anything like Luka stuff, even. If you've got players that are on good teams, but I don't trust to win in the end. You know, Devin Booker's market's very strong. I don't think the Suns are winning a championship. I just don't. So I wouldn't buy in on his hype right now because although he's good and the team's good, I don't think it's going higher than that. I look for guys where I think there's potential and market size. LeBron comes to mind. If you told me at the end of the year the Lakers are going to win the championship, I wouldn't be shocked. And he's got a crazy huge market. A guy like Ja Morant, I think there's potential there. But I think there are a lot of don't buy type guys. You know, Michael Porter Jr. was that type of guy, and now he's out indefinitely. Everybody's dumping him. I think we've been talking about how terrible of a buy he is the whole time, because what are you supposed to do with that guy? He's a third option. You spend money on that. I wouldn't invest long-term in any pitchers. I think pitchers are a terrible investment unless they're retired Hall of Famers. Defensive players in football in general, tough investment.
I think that just summarized a number of episodes that we've given out recently with who not to invest in. So there you go, Joe.
Invest in sports, boy, because he's going to take over the world. That little girl has lost his Dell cape, and he's going to fly higher than ever.
Why am I a little girl?
You have no idea how high that tank top can fly.
It does have a sunset on it with a palm.
It's the first time you've not worn a Dell shirt on the show. I'm excited.
Well, I honestly had a Dell shirt on, and I was like, no, it wouldn't be right on the first episode.
Nope. Not going
to
do it.
I either have to replace my wardrobe or I'm only wearing tank tops from now on, because that's really all I have.
Either way,
wear,
that's a win-win option for people like me who get to see this. And the YouTube show, which will be all visual, I think we go tank top.
Oh my God. We both wear tank tops? Bro. The Tank Top Bros? Can we name the show that?
The tanks.
Tank Top Bros.
Tank Bros.
Is the sports card mark tanking? It is now. That's what we'll say.
Do you have another question?
We're wearing tank top.
Do you have another question to ask?
I do, but we're done.
Oh, is that it? No more questions?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right.
We did it. Feels fine. Really good.
We're back Thursday.
That's true.
We don't have any guests lined up for Thursday. I would like a guest.
We need to get another guest.
I would like a guest one of the next three shows. So,
well, where's your boy Simmons?
I don't know if we're talking. I don't know. I haven't talked to Simmons in a while, actually.
Did you insult him? Did you say something?
I don't think I've insulted him. Let me take a gander here.
He's been, I keep seeing all this HBO stuff he's doing. Maybe he's just busy with other things.
He messaged me November 12th. Don't get back surgery. He said it's an elbow. He said, oh, I was listening. I thought you were talking about a back. Then he asked, is my pitching career over?
But he's joking around. He's having fun. Oh, he's still there.
I would like to have Bill back, especially in December. I think it'd be nice. I will text him. In the interim, I would like to have somebody in the next three shows. I think it's a realistic goal, an interesting guest.
People like Chris Ryan. What happened? Didn't we try and get Chris Ryan? Would he come back? I don't remember.
We didn't try. He came on. He was awesome the first time. Came on.
Yeah.
We haven't reached back out to him Ronick, since.
Chris Ryan?
Ronick, is that a you thing or an us thing? How do we do that?
How do we do that, Chris? How, Ronick?
I can ask Corey.
Oh, Chris is a Corey guy.
Oh. No, I mean, it's because Chris is one of the managers. Corey's my manager, so.
I see. Up the chain of command.
Wow.
Okay.
Management. That's cool.
But what are we having him on for? Like, yeah, there has to be a purpose. I just don't want this guy coming on. That's
we
what I
already
mean.
Talked about it. Rookie of the year versus Angels in the outfield. Okay. That's
so,
it.
So, Ronick, don't send this. This is a dumb. Not
right. Right. I thought we didn't have anything to. I mean, what he came on last time about soccer, right?
Yeah, we just had a soccer guy on.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's got to be known for other. He knows other sports.
Well, I think football. He's very not. I don't think no, that's basketball. A question. Yeah. Like Simmons to me makes Simmons or Vernon would make sense the next couple of weeks. A basketball heavy person. We'll talk about it, I guess.
Guys, we're going to talk about this off
air. Glad we did this on the live. So,
Tune in next week, though. Next Thursday. We got a really exciting show.
This Thursday, not next.
That's the next Thursday for me.
All right, we're done. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. The Tank Top Boys are out. See you on Thursday. Goodbye.
Bye.